Welcome back to another episode of the Hot Genius Podcast. I'm really excited for today's episode because we're going to go over why it's hard for people to change and how you can be the person who actually can change. So I'm just going to get straight into this episode. So I want to first begin by explaining from a neuroscience perspective, what are the three main pillars that actually enable us to truly change. And I don't just mean change for a week or a month. I'm talking about long-term transformation. I'm talking about sustainability, going from point A to point B and never looking back. So those three pillars include number one, positive stress, and this can be called eustress. If you want to know more about eustress and how to actually be in control of stress, I really recommend you listen to episode 2 of this show because it goes on about, you know, how to make stress your bitch. That's the title of the episode as well. I think you'll really enjoy it. Anyway, number one is positive stress. Number two is attention. And number three is connection. We need positive stress, attention, and connection simply because that when we can put together all these elements, then we are able to do what is called self-directed neuroplasticity. And so you might have heard of neuroplasticity before. Maybe you've heard it in a lot of self-help books. It's very common in the personal development and coaching world. But when it comes to neuroplasticity, technically it's always happening. Neuroplasticity itself is just means that the brain's ability to reorganize itself, to restructure itself. So technically every time you learn something new about a friend or learn something new about your partner, when you learn something, just experience an event or whatever it is, neuroplasticity is taking place. It's pretty much the word to describe, our brain's ability to reorganize itself, strengthen pathways and restructure. Now, what people actually mean when they bring up neuroplasticity is they're actually referring to self-directed neuroplasticity. So it's you being in control of it. It's you being conscious and in a sense curating the sort of changes you want to make in your brain. And so when it comes to positive stress, what that really means is that stress itself is not good or bad. I feel like stress gets such a bad rap, you know, and I'm here to, play the devil's advocate, you could say, because stress isn't actually bad. That's why it's called positive stress. And in science, we call that eustress. And what I mean by this is that stress itself is, you know, like I said, neutral, and it becomes something that's actually really useful to us. It's actually very beneficial and healthy even because stress in itself is a performance enhancer. You know, it makes us more alert. It helps us actually grow. It can help us learn. And so we really do need stress. It's not just simply for what you could say, like what it's typically known for, which is just your basic survival. And so of course, stress used incorrectly and stress that is unregulated, it's horrible. It can cause chronic illnesses. It can really impact your health and life in multiple ways. But again, stress itself, I want to stress this, no pun intended, or actually this sort of was intended, that stress itself is actually neutral, but you can choose how you use it. When it comes to positive stress and how that links to actually transforming long-lasting change is that when you are constantly in your comfort zone, that's actually coming from one of the basic survival traits, you could say, that we have. We have three main ones. We've got energy efficiency, procreation, and I just went blank. But who cares? The most important thing you need to know here is that when we are constantly in our comfort zone, and it's because like our brain is trying to conserve energy. It thinks that we're still living in the hunter and gatherer days. And so that's why it's so hard for people to change, because they think, okay, it's time to go to the gym, for example. And it's like, oh, but I don't feel like going to the gym. And so the reason why you don't feel like you wanting to go to the gym is because it's going back to that basic instinct of survival, which one of them is to conserve energy. you know, but you don't need to conserve energy in this life, this sort of society, right? We don't, we're not being chased by saber-toothed tigers. We're not having to actually gather and get our food. We can literally go on our phone, click an app, and it can be delivered to our doors. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't, it's so irrelevant now that that mechanism, that survival mechanism has become irrelevant, but people don't know that. So we have what I call a modern mind, but we have an ancient body, you know? And so naturally, because of this very thing, it's so hard for people to change, because to change, it creates positive, like you kind of have to, yeah, create positive stress in your body and know how to utilize that and bend it to your will so it works in your favor. And positive stress, once again, is getting out of your comfort zone. That's a type of stress, because your body's like, oh, I've never done this before. It's really uncomfortable. Again, it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do it because it feels bad. And it's like, no, you should definitely do it. Like, for example, going to the gym, or maybe eating healthier, or maybe that's actually creating a new habit like meditation, like whatever it is for you that you're trying to do in your life that you want to change. I'm here to share with you why it's hard for people to change in general. You might be able to relate to some of the things we've already discussed. And I'm also sharing with you how you can actually be the one who can change. And it's about, it starts by understanding the reasons why you can't first, believe it or not. That's actually a better list to focus on, because once you know why you can't change, you stop making it a personal attack on yourself. You stop judging and shaming yourself for not being able to change, and you just take it for what it really is factually, which is like, oh, it's just literally my body is ancient, my brain is modern. There's a confliction, and I don't haven't been taught or educated how to use my brain, because, well, how could you? We've only discovered what we know about the human brain, we meaning science, in the last 20 years. You know, really, like the 80% bulk of what we know about the brain, it's so fresh. It's so fresh, it's not funny, that most practitioners don't even know about this. Again, how can they? Unless they're constantly, I guess, being updated with the research. So anyway, number one, according to neuroscience, one of the factors that we need to create long-lasting transformation and change is positive stress, aka the ability to know that you're supposed to get out of your comfort zone, and that the reason why, no matter how strong-minded you are, or how much willpower you have, that why you struggle to get out of your comfort zone in the first place is because that primal instinct inside of you, that ancient body part of you, so to speak, is trying to conserve energy because it thinks it's still in the hunter-gatherer days, and it thinks that it takes 3 weeks or something, you know, to find a meal, you know, and it's not true. It's completely irrelevant to this modern society. So the way that we have to truly, if you want to become a person who can change, is being aware of these things, knowing what's happening, why it's happening, why you're struggling, and what to do about it. And what to do about it in this case, once again, is to actually, yeah, just have this awareness and have this conscious, I guess, ability to be like, oh, I am doing that. My brain's just doing that cute thing. That's the reason why I don't feel like doing it. Therefore, I'm not actually lazy, which, by the way, you're not lazy. Your brain is just so, it loves you so much. It's just trying to keep you alive, but it's just really old school and has no idea that you're actually pretty safe to go do your thing. You can use your energy. Now, number two is attention. Now, attention, the way I interpret this factor and pillar in which we need in order to create long-lasting change, is that it takes a lot of mental energy to change, right? And how I want to explain this is that, well, the way that I create change in my life, how I've created transformations that I still look back and be like, how on earth did I do that? Or I can't believe I'm in a sense a completely different person to who I used to be, say, you know, 5-10 years ago, is that, like, when it comes to, again, changing, it takes a lot of mental energy. And so the practical way that I believe you need to change is that you need to change your identity, like who you believe yourself to be, as well as your habits. And for the first 6 weeks, it takes up so much energy, because remember, like, the reason why we are creature of habits is it's just an efficiency thing that our brain does, right? And so that's why when you hear, oh, you know, I was on autopilot, or that's why when you have, you know, done a task a million times, like vacuuming, you don't even think about it. You don't need to think about it, or driving. Like, it's because your brain is efficient, right? It's not sustainable for us to imagine if we had to mentally be in charge of pumping our hearts and doing the laundry when we already know how to do it. You know, the program is there to create, again, efficiency. It's a great mechanism. However, it is not so great when it comes to change, because the reason why a lot of people, unfortunately, unfortunately, like, it's such a high statistic of why most people don't create long-lasting change. I get it. Like, I don't blame them. It is fucking hard. Yeah, it's simple. It's just not easy. Because it takes, again, a lot of mental energy. Because to pay attention, that second pillar that neuroscience addresses that we need to do and have in order to create long-lasting change, it takes a lot of mental energy and it's a really big dedication. Like, you pretty much have to be completely dedicated. So let's kind of like use like a real life example. So let's say you're an entrepreneur and you're killing it. You're doing so good in your business life, but you realize that you want to actually take better care of your health and your body. And so to this, what I would say is that in my understanding that it makes sense why you have that resistance toward creating that change. You know, like I said, if you wanted to pay more attention on your health and your body, well, you're doing what you do takes a lot of your mental energy. So anyway, my point is that now when it comes down to you getting motivation, you're really probably excited. Maybe you've tried before. You've gone to the gym for a whole week and you started to eat better. You even meal prepped for that first week and everything's going good. And all of a sudden you just feel like you've got nothing left inside of you and you go back and then you try again in a few months and you go back. And then the more that you fail, the more you develop, I guess, a belief or an identity that it's just not for you. You're just not a person who's fit. You're just not that kind of person. You'll just stick to what you know. Right? I hear this so much, especially from a lot of powerful women who are really good at their jobs, who love their jobs, or their businesses. It's like, you know, because they're so used to being good at things, whenever they struggle with another area, they're really hard on themselves. And like, sometimes I just want to say to them, it's like, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you whatsoever. But there, you know, of course there is a way that you can change this, but you don't know what you don't know. And so this is the thing that you might not know, is that once again, the second pillar of lasting change, it requires attention. And to pay attention and to, in a sense, temporarily use up more energy, mentally, to be conscious of your new identity, to be conscious of getting out of your comfort zone, to be conscious of developing new habits, to be conscious of having new beliefs, new mindsets, new attitudes, of course you're exhausted. And I bet you that, like, you know, sometimes, like, if you relate to this, all I want to say to them is, like, I bet you that if you actually just knew that you weren't lazy and that there's nothing wrong with you, that this is a normal part of the changing process, of course you're tired, you're supposed to be tired, guess what? Instead of giving up, well, if you have a setback, you just go, oh, that was normal. Okay. So how can I now actually conserve my energy for the next 6 weeks? Cause that's like usually the general rule of thumb, like, of when it's the hardest, the first 6 weeks, you know, what can I do in the next 6 weeks to support me in my mental energy? Oh, okay. Maybe I'll just like do less screen time, or maybe I'll just maybe have less meetings or whatever. Like, and you can find a way, you can create almost like a strategy in how you can actually create or conserve your mental energy. Because in this case, you want to do that because you're primarily wanting to assign that energy into this transformation that you're trying to make in your life. And once again, in this case, you want to create better health, better body, better fitness, or whatever else, as an example. And so that's why that's the second pillar, in my opinion. That's my interpretation of it. Now, the third, the last pillar in which neuroscience believes is needed in order to create long-term change and to truly come full circle with what we was talking about regarding self-directed neuroplasticity, which is, you know, your brain's ability to change, but on demand, your choice, your own creation, as opposed to changing by default based on your environment, is connection. If you don't feel connected to other people, or if you don't feel like you're a part of something else and other people are doing similar things to you, then naturally it's going to, you know, make you feel like there's no point, or you're going to feel really alone in what you're doing. And although it is to some degree possible to still create long-lasting change on your own, and I say that because I've experienced that, I have to some degree done it on my own-ish. And I say ish because I didn't have a community. I'm going to give an example, actually. So what I'm referring to exactly was that about 8 years ago, long story short, I went through one of the biggest transformations of my life. And the best way I could describe it is that I went from being someone who was overweight, unhealthy. Like, I can't even explain how unhealthy. Like, it wasn't just my weight. It was the way I thought. It was the way I treated my body. It was the way I ate. Like, mentally, physically, in every way possible, so unhealthy. It's not funny. I went from being that person to being not just incredibly healthy, but I became a holistic vegan, you know, as in like, sorry, a whole food vegan diet and a healthy person. I'm not saying that to be healthy, you need to be vegan. I'm just saying for me, that was my version of that. But I'm trying to even show you that I went from not just going from being someone who was unhealthy to healthy. I also went from being someone who was eating meat, who literally had a dairy addiction, into someone who eats a whole food plant-based diet, and I have sustained that for over 8 years. Yeah. And so that happened when I was going back to connection, the last pillar of change, according to neuroscience, is that although I didn't have a community, I didn't really know anyone at the time back then who really was really into personal development, into transformation to health. I knew them, they existed, like as in online. I saw a lot of content creators and motivational speakers and authors and shit. But I mean, I didn't know real humans who were doing that. But the way when I said connection-ish and how you can sort of find a hack if you don't have people around you who are going after the similar things as you or share an aligned mission or goal or whatever, is that, well, I created one, you know, through books, through YouTube videos, through just reading and learning from people who did have these lifestyles, because to my brain, it did sort of make my brain believe I had connection to other people. So that is the bare minimum. Although looking back now, I wish I had real life people who I could have connected with, like a community who were doing something similar to me, because it would have just been so much easier, right? And so yeah, they're the three main pillars. So that's why it's so hard to change. It's because it takes a lot of, you know, we need positive stress, which is going against our, you know, primitive instincts, so I understand why it's hard. Number two is that we require a lot of attention, which takes a lot of mental energy. It's like a full-time job in itself. You need to have a lot of dedication and commitment. And number three, you need connection. You need to be around people who are doing similar things to you. So I'm sharing this most and foremost because I hope that you understand that there's nothing wrong with you, that you're not lazy, that there's actually a biological and biological reason and a chemical reason to explain why you struggle and why anyone, you know, struggles to change. But that does not mean it's impossible to change. And it also doesn't mean that it has to be as hard as you think it is to change. Because although I said earlier that it is hard to change, but hard is not black and white. There's different degrees of hard. And the way I see it is that there is a way to make it at like the easiest kind of hard, if you know what I mean. And the way that you can do that is by you understanding why it's hard to change. It's really understanding what not to do and why you struggle. And once you understand that, it no longer has power over you. Therefore, when it comes down to changing, it's just going to be easier. You're just going to see every setback or every quote unquote lazy moment, or whatever else, as a part of the process, because it is, and you can create a strategy around it. And so I want to wrap up this episode by sharing with you, my method in change. It's how I transformed my whole life, really. I've done it with every cornerstone of my life. I still apply this method, to the areas that I'm still wanting to transform in my life. But you know, when I was telling you how I went from being overweight to being someone who I have a healthy weight, I don't even think about my weight. Mind you, I used to have an eating disorder. Now I don't. I have an incredible relationship with food now. I went from being a meat eater who was addicted to dairy to being on a whole food plant-based diet effortlessly. Just so we're clear, it's effortless for me. I went from someone who had next level codependency issues, next level separation anxiety. I was really, really I had a really anxious, desperate personality into someone who's really cool, calm and collected. I'm so chill. I'm so confident. This is how I've done it. Okay. And I teach this in, actually my Sim Academy, which is from the Hot Genius Society. It's a company, a startup that I have recently begun to establish. And this is what I teach them. So I'm sharing it with you, these three steps. So hope you have a pen and paper out. It's also going to be your action step. So number one is identify the outcome that you desire for yourself and their identity that links to that desire. So number one is identify desire. And then I want you to approach this from an outcome and an identity. We'll use a random example so you know. Let's say it's you want to be more fit and their identity is you want to be a healthy athlete. Okay, so that will be step one. Step two is to study and mimic the people who have that. So study and mimic. Why? How on earth can we start being like someone, or mimic something or whatever else if we've never been the thing? So we need to actually create that, create the new neural pathways, create that positive stress in our brain by actually understanding what a, let's say, athlete, how does an athlete think? How does an athlete sleep? Or how does a healthy, fit person think and act in every situation? So you can't really go, what does a healthy person do in this situation if you don't actually know what a healthy person does in that situation? So once again, step two is study people who do the thing that you want. So if it's you want to become an athlete, study how athletes think, eat, sleep, breathe, whatever else, and then mimic. And step three is repeat until it becomes your own and your adapted version. So I'll go over the steps one more time. Number one is identify the desire and the identity that you want. Number two is to study and then mimic that identity. And number three is to repeat until you become that identity. And the change will come as a natural result. It will be simple. And remember, it takes positive stress, a lot of mental attention and connection in order to create long-lasting change. If you fall back, you're not a failure. It's completely normal. Your brain is just trying to keep you alive because it thinks that you have a saber-tooth tiger chasing you and that you need to spend hours to find food. So it's trying to conserve your energy, and it conserves your energy by telling you you don't feel like going to the gym, or you don't feel like reading a book, or you don't feel like meditating. And it's telling you this because it's trying to keep you alive. And remember, in this day and age, it doesn't need to conserve energy anymore. You're free to go and to be in control of that. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please let me know, share this with someone who could really benefit from this. Tag me please share this on your stories on Instagram and tag me. You can tag me at Christina Modafari or the podcast at Hot Genius Society. I would love to hear and see all your, you know, your motivations and what you got from this. And I'd love to chat and get to know you. We are a community. Okay. You don't have to do anything alone. Remember, the last pillar of long lasting change is connection. So this is what we're here for. Okay. So much love, and I'll see you in the next one.